Three guys just got caught driving around the GTA running a fake cell tower. Tens of thousands of Torontonians had their phones secretly hijacked and 911 calls couldn't connect 13 million times. Len, the part no one is telling you, the Toronto police already have the same tech. This is Axis of Easy. Any cell phone calls dropped lately? No,
I don't make cell phone calls, so no. And you know what? Even data wasn't intercepted or wasn't dropped for me because I don't tend to use it when I'm driving. I just, you know, listen to podcasts that I pre-downloaded. So I don't know. Have you had anything happen to you that was?
I have not. Yeah, can't say that I've been victim to this this threat. What happened? Tell me about it.
Yeah, well, for people who are unaware, this SMS blaster thing is an interesting story. Toronto Police got to the bottom of a new criminal operation for these SMS blasters, and it was called Project Lighthouse.
Yeah, not the best work there on the nickname, I would say.
They're not in the business of doing that anyways. That's more for hackers and attackers. So, but for them anyways, Project Lighthouse resulted in three people getting mad. And the three people are Dafeng Lin from Hamilton, Jun Min Shi from Markham, and Wei Tong Hu from Markham. I'm wondering what's the commonality of these three general gentlemen.
Here we go. Ask Sam Cooper. Sam Cooper's probably got something to say about all this.
Well, we'll get to that in just a moment, because these people were using mobile devices and they were trying to copy what legitimate cell towers are actually doing. But in the process, they were intercepting signals from cell phones. So instead of having your phone talk to a Bell, Rogers, Telus cell tower, which typically it does, these guys were intercepting and getting the signals from the phones, and the phones were unwillingly connecting to these rogue towers that they established, or this rogue tower that they established. It was singular, not plural. The phones that connected to the rogue tower would then receive mass phishing or smishing text messages. And they were designed to look like official communications from banks, government agencies, or stuff like the 407 ETR. The purpose of this was to try to trick people to send over personal and financial data. And the text messages came into people's phones without the cell provider knowing, since it originated from the rogue tower. Police were estimating some tens of thousands of devices were connected to these blasters over several months, and over 13 million network disruptions were caused by these devices. And during this time, if you need to make a call to a loved one, forget it. You're denied. If you're trying to get some information, maybe like doing a 911 call or trying to use data, forget about it. Denied. So the connection problems range from either several seconds to minutes, depending on how quick the cell phones were able to reestablish connections with real towers. And the device they use isn't really a tower per se. It wasn't what you'd expect it to be. It's something that is small enough that it could fit within a vehicle that these guys, apparently they were driving around the GTA to high density areas. So they were doing this in traffic and picking up a bunch of signals while they're driving. And the device itself is small. Apparently it's a size of a large laptop or small suitcase. That's the best information I could find about this, because it's hard to find anything specific around this. But this was done also in the UK. They were trying to use information, or I'm trying to use information that I got from that. So the three suspects and their origins, right? Like, let's be honest, I'm surprised that the Chinese police stations didn't nab them, right? Like, they're here, they're established in GTA. Why didn't they do it? But maybe they're all employed by the same people, so makes sense why they didn't do it.
Hey, don't say that.
I don't know. Interestingly enough, it comes at a time when Canada is trying to forge new relations with China. We send them fertilizer. We send them oil. They send us spy electric cars, Chinese police stations, and SMS blasters. So it's a pretty good deal, if you ask me. This is for the Canada-China Economic and Trade Cooperation Roadmap. I can't wait to see what comes out of this, if we're getting this from that. But either way, as for the SMS blasters, according to police, this is the first known instance of this technology being used in Canada to date. The question that people may have is, how could you protect yourself against this? Number one, very simply, you could deactivate 2G network on your phone. Who the heck's using 2G these days? I don't know, but you could disable this on your device, number one. Number two, you got to also be diligent. You got a SMS come in, especially if you didn't ask for it. Like you're asking for like the two-factor identification, it comes in. You be diligent. Don't click on stuff.
Yeah.
If something looks too good to be true, if your bank is asking for something, if 407 ETR is asking for something, just go to their website and log in. Call them. Be direct. Don't deal with this SMS stuff. But I would imagine a lot of people were impacted by this because they're too dumb. Whatever.
The 2G thing is interesting. First, let's talk about the technology, okay? The SMS blaster. You have to excuse my voice here. This is not the first anything. I know the police framed it that way, but the police have this technology. They call it Stingray, and they've used it a bunch of times. I think this is a sort of a direct lead-in to the 2G part of the story. You actually can't disable 2G on your phone. Not allowed. I don't know if you know that or not.
I can on mine.
You may be able to disable it as a band that your phone chooses, but you cannot disable it outright without like Apple's lockdown mode will do it, but it's illegal to disable it here because it's something that is used by water meters. It's used by rural users. It's used by other like IoT devices. The States has no 2G. 2G is gone over there, but over here it's still alive and the carriers won't kill it. And part of me thinks that the reason they won't kill it is because our police want to use this technology, number one. Number two, you raise this as well. Who are the criminals here? Who are the criminals here? You can protect yourself somehow from it, but you can't turn it avoids. Always allowed. Always allowed, though. See what it says? Always allowed. There's only so many things you can do to stop it. You can't completely separate yourself from it. The other point you brought up was the Chinese connection here, okay? We have, again, opened ourselves up to what I would call... Like, is this fair to call this foreign espionage, you think?
Depending on who it is the employers are asking them to do this. I don't think they're doing this on their own.
No.
They may. There's a chance, but
I doubt it.
I would guess.
It's pretty hard to believe that that's the case. This is pretty standard, I think. And Sam Cooper raises this as well. This is, you know, documented patterns of behavior from the Chinese Communist Party in terms of the way they carry out spy operations abroad against, in this case, I want to say ally, but I mean, only a fool would call them allies at this point. You make of that what you will when you think about the people who say they're our allies. We have a problem with Chinese organized crime in this country, among other things, but that's a big one that's really gone under the radar in the last little while in the midst of all the, you know, anti-India sentiment and anti-immigration sentiment from certain parts of Asia, but not necessarily China. Now, to Sam Cooper's credit, not to make this a Cooper story, he's been on this the whole time, but we really need to start refocusing our attention on this. Last thing I'll mention about the sort of nature of this attack. The text messages were coming from like Canada Post, quote unquote. What does that tell you about the nature of the sort of trust relationship that Canadians have with Canada Post? Some of the weakest links in the system for us are our legacy institutions, you know, whether it's banks, Canada Post, doctor's offices, whatever, things that people trust implicitly, because why wouldn't they? Who cares if Canada Post sends you a two-layer SMS or a 2FA SMS message? We should just click it and see what's going on. What harm could it do? People often think about the harm that would come to like their Canada Post account. They don't think about the harm that would come to their mobile device. And so this is a thing that's happening not just in Canada, but we've talked about it in a number of other facets, especially in America over the last few years. Is it fair to say that, you know, every agency now should have to sort of either, given that we're not going to get rid of 2G, get off SMS 2FA? Like, should there be, I hate to say it, laws against using SMS 2FA? Should you have to go to an authenticator? Should you have to go to some other method?
Could you legalize or could you
put that in legislation? I don't know. I mean, God knows the liberals are running a majority now. They could do anything they want. Will they do something like this is the question. I'm not sure.
And then what is it going to be? A government-approved version of that app?
I don't know.
Could you imagine?
This is the other question, right? Like, I wasn't going to say it, but since you brought it up, maybe unknowingly, what are the odds that this is, you know, was a known operation for some time? It's getting all this press because, you know, there's an attempt coming down the pipeline to continue to infringe upon your rights as a Canadian under the guise of protecting you, under the guise of making sure emergency services are accessible, under the guise of making sure that people aren't fooled by Canada Post or 407 ETR or whatever. Like, that's the other thing. I hate going down this road, but it just seems too convenient. It's from a known adversary in a huge part of the city. There's no way that the carriers didn't know about this. Like, the story talks about a tip that the police got. The tip came from the carriers. Like, that's the only party that could know something like this is going on. So, like, how is it possible they let this go for this long? And now they're making a huge story of it and not mentioning that they use the same tech to pick off your communications. Like, it's all too convenient. All of this it just doesn't jive with this is a major protection issue. It jives with we're going to use this for something a lot more closely, I think.
Imagine you have to scan for this and you have to do it in traffic. Jeez. Because that's what they are. So if you're too far away, you got to get close to them in order to pinpoint exactly where this, I'm guessing this is the way it's going to be done.
Yeah.
And it's, how do you do that in traffic where you're just, it's struggling just to get from A to V? You just got to be lucky. You have to have the right tools to detect this, and you got to be beside them or close to them and able just to, so I can see how this goes on for several months. If people who aren't aware, the 401 during rush hour is an absolute zoo. In fact,
I think it went on for more than several months, by the way. Like, the UK started having problems with this 2 years ago. So the likelihood that it wasn't happening here for 2 years is basically zero.
Did they have Chinese police stations over there?
That's what I mean. Like, isn't it more likely it's been happening here for years longer than that? Like, it's almost implausible to consider that we were the last target of, you know, a guy named, like, what was this guy named? Like,
oh, we have three of them.
You know, like we're the last target from a guy named, you know, something Hugh and she and Lynn. I doubt it. It's never
one
of
local to in Hamilton, Joey. We should probably go to his house and get some more information.
Yeah, we'll just stop in. Let's go pay him a visit. We gotta run. we gotta run the Access of Easy blaster. See if we can get the guy's address.
Are we allowed a travel budget to go over and check him out?
Yeah, we gotta talk to Mark. Isn't the other exclusive? Is the other angle here that like this product, the blaster, not easy to acquire, but if you dig a little bit, you can buy one for about $3,000. So is this another example of the cat and mouse game getting a little closer to even between law enforcement and retail? I think that's probably another angle here that's not being discussed, certainly not in the media. I mean, I expect less and less from those people every day. But again, like to my earlier point about crackdowns, if you can convince the broad public that this is a problem that retail criminals could catch up with pretty soon, then you could make a case that you have to do some kind of, you know, restriction, access change, legal change, whatever, to make sure that no one can buy devices like this. And then they lump in some other stuff in there too.
You know, VPN, which is going to be
they lump in a VPN in there or whatever, right? People don't know. You have to imagine that the average person voting on these laws reads the story and is completely technically illiterate. That's who the audience is, right?
If they could somehow become somewhere in the middle between phone and cell tower.
Yeah.
And they could relay that information over to cell and vice versa.
It's huge. Yeah.
That would be massive because then they could intercept all data that comes from the phone.
Incredibly damaging. Yeah. Incredibly damaging.
But I'm sure that they've been trying to work on this for a very long time. And the way that SIM chips are created and the way they communicate with cell towers prevents this type. There must be some encryption or something that goes along with it. I mean, at least with doing a handshake agreement, it's messed up, and you're going to see more of this. Like you said, China is becoming more prevalent in Canada, and they want more information. They want more information about you, our government, our businesses, and they'll do whatever they can to get. They will steamroll over anybody, and they'll do it in a way that without using conventional weapons. They don't go to war with guns, with tanks.
No.
They go to war with technology, and they find a way in. They find through IP copying and shit like that. Like, it becomes a mess. So it's a new world, Joey.
Yeah.
But at least we're opening up doors with them, and agreements are going to be signed. I don't know if an MOU has been signed yet, but
with the SMS blaster people, we should probably look into that. Yeah. Maybe we can facilitate. Can we facilitate the agreement, you and I?
No, I think we're excluded from that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
I mean, okay. I use a VPN. I don't think they'll trust me right off the bat. I have to do everything unencrypted through like the SMS. And what a disaster.
Listen, it's a big story. I think you're going to be on the lookout for more stuff like this. Retail tech is hitting a point now where police forces who have spent the last 10 years attending parades instead of building their suite of technology are going to be taken by surprise here and in other places. So
what are the chances that they've been doing this like in a 20-year-old beige Corolla?
High.
I want to see the car that they.
It's got to be nondescript. Maybe 20 years, not quite, but like mid 2010s. Yeah, it's got to be
tinted windows.
Yeah, got to be nondescript. Anyway, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching YouTube every week. Make sure you tune in. Make sure you subscribe. Podcast wherever you get your podcasts, and of course, accessofeasy.com for the rest of the stories. We'll see you next time.
Take care.